Welcome back, folks, on this Friday, the 20th day of October, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and today's wrap-up and look back at the week of news is going to be just a bit different because so much of the smoke that passes for news this week certainly suggests that the fourth turning, written about by Strauss and Howe so long ago, is not only in progress, but an increasing risk of going nuclear, pun intended. And that may not even be the worst-case scenario, because there are things that are perhaps more likely that'll hit closer to home that we can prepare for, and indeed had better be, and soon. And some of them take the form of lessons that should have been, and you can pretty much bet that they won't be, learned from what happened in Israel at the end of the Feast of Sukkot. And I'm going to introduce the first of the dots today with a story that I actually heard about locally. First, anyway, I-25 north of Pueblo was shut down, and maybe you can even guess why. Because if you can say train derailment, and that doesn't seem to be too much out of character for this regime in Washington now, does it? Where incompetence seems to be a more important job requirement than checking the right LGBTQIAPB boxes. The story goes that there was yet another train derailment. This time, tragically, a trucker was killed when a bridge literally fell on top of him as a result. Says the story from the Denver Compost, Interstate 25 will likely be shut down for several days and potentially even much longer after 30 train cars derailed just north of Pueblo, collapsing a rail bridge over the highway, said state and federal officials on Monday. A trucker was killed Sunday after 30 train cars derailed and spilled both train cars and coal across I-25 just before 3:30 p.m., about 4 miles north of Pueblo, between mile markers 106 and 107, and the incident, which involved a BNSF railway coal train, that's Burlington Northern and Santa Fe for those of you out of state, forced an extended closure of the major central U.S. north-south arterial. And here's a shocker, folks. The State Highway Patrol says officials aren't quite sure what caused the derailment yet, and there's no estimate on when I-25 would actually reopen, because the Colorado DOT says the road may not be cleared for, quote, days to weeks. And the Colorado Transportation Department said that 6 to 7 of those train cars and the coal they carried were literally scattered across both lanes of I-25, which causes your host to pause and hearken back and say, hey, anybody else remember the alleged reason that the interstate highways were built during the Eisenhower administration? It had to do with moving men, material, and things like energy, especially during times of, well, national or military emergencies. Not like there's anything on that horizon now, is there? And this shouldn't surprise anybody. Nobody has any clue what could have possibly caused the problem here. And by the time they get the roads reopened and then the inevitable who knows how long it takes before they finally decide what the story's going to be, what do you bet most Americans will have long forgotten and maybe even moved on to the next train derailment, if we get that far? I mean, for example, anybody still remember East Palestine? And no, I'm not talking about the latest front in World War III. But you know what, folks? For those of you old enough to remember Johnny Carson and Karnak the Magnificent, I could put on my turban and hold that envelope to my forehead and divine the answer without knowing the question. Was it terrorism? Of course not. And not only can we divine with some certainty that it won't be a Middle Eastern or other than Mexican or anything south of the border kind of terrorist, or a Communist Chinese Party or ISIS sleeper cell that just happened to slip in across the open southern border, but if Big Brother decides it's time, they may try to pin it on MAGA. But I'm guessing they would have charged Trump with a few hundred years worth of more felonies by then. But what's the real point here? Well, we're going to talk about the open borders and the fact that sleeper cells are already in position. Who knows how many literal battalions of Communist Chinese People's Liberation Army and other foreign troops could have and almost certainly did come across the border, well, either undetected or outright ignored, maybe given bus or plane tickets, and are already set to do what Hamas managed to accomplish in Gaza with powered parachutes and bulldozers. And let me be clear here, folks. That obviously took planning. It was clear that somebody knew what was going on, and it was too stupid, or far more likely, just turned a blind eye to it. Because, you know, we need an excuse to accelerate World War III, and they got it. Well, in the case of the U.S. southern border, which doesn't exist anymore, they've literally had a 2 full year head start in plain sight. So what's the connection with various signs and harbingers, like what happened just north of Pueblo on I-25 with another suspicious train derailment? How many of those are we going to have? I've mentioned this many times before, folks. As an engineer with a background in experiment design, in other words, testing system response and seeing what you expect to happen and what actually happened, and if you conduct these tests right, you can even do the math. Like in this case, What is the response of truckers and people that need to drive the major north-south arterial through Colorado and multiple surrounding states? How much disruption does it cause? How long does it last? What are the ripple effects? What routes do people take in alternative? What happens with trains and other forms of transportation? There are a whole lot of things that you can learn by conducting a shutdown of a major north-south arterial and then gauging the system response. And I can't help but think, if I was an invading force, that is precisely what I'd do and probably even how I'd do it. Oh, yeah, and if I see the compliant waste stream media covered up for me, I laugh and say, how much the better? Because the fools aren't even catching on yet. On the Mideastern front of World War III, we're still in the escalation phase. The United States has announced a second carrier group being shipped off to the Mediterranean. We can only hope that they get all their LGBTQIA fuzzy plus training completed before they get within Russian missile range. Oops, may already be too late for that. Hal Turner's radio show has this comment that Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday gave the United States what he called a quiet tap on the shoulder with respect to America placing two aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean Sea. Russia's Kinzhal hypersonic missiles can reach out and touch them. It's not a threat, he was very clear to say in advance. Putin reminded the world that Russian aerospace forces, specifically their MiG-31s on patrol in the neutral airspace over the Black Sea, are armed with those Kinzhal hypersonic missiles, which have a known range of 1,000 kilometers plus and travel at Mach 9 and can reach those U.S. aircraft carriers. But it's not just Russia, 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 of course. At this point, I need to add all of the other nations that have pretty well had it with the puppet masquerading as president in the White Whorehouse. And much of the Islamic world, it seems, too. This is from multiple sources. After the bombing of the Al-Hali Baptist Hospital in Gaza, whodunit is still TBD, folks. But what matters is that much of Islam is drinking the Kool-Aid, regardless of whodunit, blaming Israel and the U.S. I've been asking the question ever since the alleged rocket attack, quo bene, and I think a united Islamic front may help answer that. The black flag has risen over the Razavi shrine in Mashhad, Khorasan province, Iran, and it's being heralded as a worldwide sign of Islam coming together to fight, yep, the infidel that needs dying and jihad. And it looks like, as World War III continues towards its arguably inevitable conclusion at this point anyway, given the idiocy of what now masquerades as leadership, Americans had better start paying attention, your host will suggest, to what might happen on the home front. Especially given the inevitable economic meltdown, and it's drawing closer by the day, the open borders and the invasion and all of the sleeper cells, a crumbling infrastructure, more than vulnerable power grid, a devastated national energy supply, including an empty strategic petroleum reserve, and let's not forget the attack on what's left of freedom-loving, Bible-believing, law-abiding Americans. Back to the black flag of war and jihad. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi spoke of it, saying, quote, the flames of U.S.-Israeli bombs dropped tonight on innocent Palestinians being treated for injuries in Gaza's hospital, and he said they will soon engulf the Zionists. No free human being's silence is permissible in the face of such a war, unquote. And regardless of who's at fault, it's illustrative, say those that are paying attention to the black flag of jihad. So far, the governments of Syria, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Palestine, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, Qatar, and Iran have all blamed the Israeli Air Force for the explosion at that hospital. And honestly, let me put it this way. Having seen this mentality for quite a while, hey, has anybody listening here ever managed to convince a true blue leftist that the 2020 election was rigged? You can show them all the videos you want of election workers being kicked out of vote counting stations and cardboard being put up in the windows, ballot boxes being stuffed, electronic manipulation, and don't even think about mentioning 20 Sigma Black Swan statistical events. Doesn't really matter now, does it? You want to really know what jihad looks like, folks? Wake up! It's been declared on MAGA for 2 full years now. And Islam isn't going to do anything any different. It's just that the stakes are now going up. And, oh, yeah, let's not forget, the sleeper cells are already in place. Which pretty well tells you where I'm going to go today. But before we go there, I've still got a couple of additional items to set on stage. The first one, from Ethan Huff at Natural News, says that, you know what? As all eyes are turned to the latest Mideast front in World War III, yet another mysterious factory explosion has occurred, this time at an ammunition plant in Nebraska. I guess once you get rid of all the food, that might be next on the list. The Hornady manufacturing plant near Grand Island blew up on October the 13th, killing one woman, injuring two men at a 150,000-square-foot facility that was opened back in 2018 on land that formerly housed the Cornhusker Army Ammunition Plant. And this is kind of telling. Major media, as you might suspect, remains pretty much muted, silent about the incident, despite potentially major implications for the nation's ammunition supply, especially if what's left has all been shipped over to Ukraine. The local fire marshal is investigating the incident, but there are at least a few noteworthy items to consider, says Natural News. The timing is especially curious, given that the Biden regime has been calling for stricter ammunition laws in the United States. They don't want you peons to have any of this. And just last year, there were a number of stories suggesting that the District of Criminal Crocs were plotting new regulations, restricting sales of ammunition to civilians. And they don't want you to have a rifle, but they're not nearly as upset if it's only a club. For example, Winchester says the piece is currently only allowed to sell surplus ammo on the civilian market once the military has had its fill. And I think you got to remember, folks, nowadays that includes the standing army, in other words, any federal bureaucracy with three letters in its initials. This is the policy the Biden-Fuhrer regime wants to nullify now because it represents about 30% of all 5.56 and 2.23 caliber ammunition sales. And concerning the Hornady incident, this shouldn't surprise us, a growing number of people are now suggesting it just might have been attacked by the very same government that last year was exposed for wanting to ban various types of ammunition to the public. Think about it, folks. You don't have to have a Speaker of the House sign off on anything to pull this one off. And the story suggests that Hornady may now have gone offline for ammunition sales and that Winchester has announced no civilian ammo from here on out. But if you believe anything other than the official narrative, folks, you know what they're going to call you, don't you? Not just conspiracy theorists anymore, right-wing MAGA extremists and probably domestic terrorists or white nationalists. Yeah, get used to it, because once they get rid of all the ammo, it's only going to get worse. Which takes me smoothly to these next two related stories, both from the Daily Mail in the UK, that I'm going to call The Great Cave-In. The first one chortles about the demise of the Kraken, as they refer to crusading firebrand lawyer Sidney Powell, who's been hammered because of her association with Donald Trump and representing him during the failed attempt to restore election integrity back in 2020. That's not exactly how the Daily Mail puts it, as you can almost certainly guess. I'll put it this way, quoting Marlon Brando.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refute.
Well, I guess she metaphorically saw the horse's head in her bed and didn't. The Kraken lawyer, they said, age 68, admitted six criminal counts and avoided jail. There's the key, as she was sentenced to 6 years probation during a surprise appearance at the Fulton County Circus Court in Georgia on Thursday. And in what they gleefully called a devastating blow to Trump, she agreed to testify truthfully, yeah, sure, against her co-defendants, including the former president, at future trials. And the shocking move, they admit, sparked speculation that she had flipped and agreed to cooperate with persecutors, turning on her old boss and on the Constitution, the rule of law, and all the American people in the process. And I guess in exchange, she won't get raped or worse in prison. The story helpfully tells us that, oh yeah, as for the Kraken, that was a reference to the mythical octopus-like creature depicted in the Hollywood blockbuster movie Clash of the Titans. In the movie, the monster was slain, but in the real world, the opposite is now true. The Daily Mail seems to gleefully think that's not only Sidney Powell, but the dragon slayer himself, Donald Trump. Oh yeah, and that's not all. She was ordered to write a letter of apology to the state of Georgia and its residents. And you know what, folks? I actually struggled to not come up with a really sarcastic, disgusted response to that. I guess all I can think of is, well, if she had just given up the sexual favors early on, like, say, the vice president did, there might have been a whole different outcome to this, don't you think? One thing, again, though, seems to be true. George Orwell was right. Read the shocking last four words from his classic dystopian Warning, 1984. The protagonist, Winston, he loved Big Brother. And there you go. Right, Sidney? But this looks like a 1-2 punch. The Daily Mail also has this headline. Jim Jordan has called off the third vote for Speaker of the House. More House chaos, it says, as the top Republican says he will now back, in other words, sell out, and allow the rhino Patrick McHenry, temporary Speaker of the House, to become the permanent temporary Speaker and take the gavel. Well, at least for now and for the foreseeable future. This is the piece. Amid signs he was going to lose more and more support, the House Rhinos have been making it clear they intended to eat away at him like maggots on a corpse. He would lose more support from his GOP colleagues as time wore on. The conservative, it says, who shed votes during his first two bids, is now going to back, giving Rhino Kevin McCarthy ally Patrick McHenry the gavel in a temporary bid to end the stalemate and get the House back to business as usual. By Friday, he was forced to back off on the permanent temporary speaker part, but the Rhino maggots are still chewing away. I think Steve Bannon's commentary on precisely this subject has been pretty spot on for the last couple of days. He suggested that this was precisely what the Rhinos and the deep state have been up to and pushing for. And the so-called coalition includes the far left, united behind the communist anti-speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries. Would the Rhinos really give the gavel to a complete communist? Answer, I think everybody's starting to believe they really do intend to do precisely that. If they can get a temporary permanent speaker in place, then the pressure's off and they can continue to do business as usual for, well, forever if necessary, or at least as long as the corpse of the United States remains animated. So I guess it's fair to ask, has Jordan completely sold out to business as usual or just caved and kind of like Sidney recognized that, the swamp has won and why go down to that watery grave all alone? Oh yeah, I will admit, is it possible that it's just a brilliant political maneuver on the way to more business as usual? I guess time will tell, but meanwhile, it's kind of hard to argue against. Another one bites the dust, and another one gone, and another one gone, another one bites the dust, hey. Most of us probably recognize by now that one of the biggest lies among an administration famous for the Hitlerian big lie is that the border is closed. Well, I guess that means if you're an American that believes in certain self-evident truths. As for communists and terrorists, oh yeah, come on in. We'll give you your jihadi cell assignments, your Obama phone and your UBI, and your train, plane, and bus pass. And there's one other really big border exception, notes Bob Unruh for WorldNet Daily, and also the Gateway Pundit. Resettlement of those that are persecuted by faith is down by a big margin. Well, at least if your faith happens to be associated with the God of the Bible. The Biden-Führer's regime claims that America's southern border is closed, even as its policies allow millions upon millions of illegal aliens to flood in. Some of us, though, would say encourages rather than just allows. But there is an exception, a segment of society that's feeling the full brunt of border security persecution. As he puts it, Christians. Decision Magazine documents that the U.S., along with the Biden-Führer and the White Whorehouse, has cut the resettlement of Christians fleeing persecution around the globe by fully 70% compared to 2016. Quote, Open Doors, which annually ranks the 50 countries in which it's most difficult to live as a Christian, and World Relief, a global Christian humanitarian organization, issued a joint report in September that in 2022, the U.S. government resettled barely one-third of the number of Christian refugees who were granted asylum in 2016, said the report. In fact, the actual numbers of Christians resettled in the United States was 9,528, down from 32,248 in 2016, and folks, that's less than one day's worth of illegal immigrants, ISIS, Hamas, and Hezbollah jihadists, and Communist Chinese People's Liberation Army imports that infiltrate the non-existent southern border, and I'll say it again, each and every day. I guess I should put it this way. You want to come in and wage jihad, destroy infrastructure, suck on the public teat? Yeah, come on in, but don't you dare bring a Bible. After all of that today, folks, I have a really important, and I'll have to admit it, I think it's a suggestion worth repeating today, for how we deal with the multiple problems that are plaguing the United States, primarily from, of course, the swamp itself, beginning with an ever more timely reminder, now that World War III is really getting rolling, because there have been so many indications from major think tanks, military consultants, and so forth, saying, yep, the United States needs to institute another draft if we're going to successfully pull off the rest of World War III. And there's been more and more talk on that front, surprise, just this week. And associated with that, I also heard an interesting but damning statistic over the weekend. Did you know that casualties among Ukrainian frontline troops in the war against Russia are 80 to 90%? How's that for drawing a short straw? We'll probably see what it looks like in Gaza before too long as well. And as you no doubt remember, part of the big debate and the oh-so-incredible brinksmanship we saw leading up to the weekend sellout was, do we or do we not continue to open the U.S. borders and let invaders stream across without any hindrance whatsoever, but with lots of incentives once they get here, while at the same time we continue to send billions more down the rat hole in Ukraine? Oops, yeah, forget about that. We got another front and outer to divert your attention. You're obviously not allowed to ask the question, why is their border so worth defending while ours isn't? Pick a border. There are several now that are all more important than the one to the south. Well, folks, I want to spend a few minutes next looking at a couple of things. For example, let's talk costs. Some leftist sites like ProPublica and NPR and others are saying Trump spent almost $3 billion on the worthless border wall. Well, it's worthless now. The Biden Fuhrer pretty much destroyed what was put up and invited other people to just circumvent it, while the Border Patrol, how's that for a misnomer, is literally cutting the razor wire and saying, come on in, the water's fine and the goodies are free. I really think they need to change the name from Customs and Border Protection to Communists and Bidenista Propaganda. Rather than stopping people at the border, folks, they're cutting the razor wire and helping them in. You can watch the videos online, for now anyway. How's that for traitors on the southern frontier? But Benedict Arnold's at the border aside, it's enlightening, I would suggest, to take a look at projected costs to put up a border wall. Or now I guess we'd have to say to re-put up what was destroyed. A derogatory piece from TexasMonthly.com, dated April 21 of 21, says, woo, it might cost $27 million a mile. Well, in that case, folks, 1,000 miles of similar wall might cost $27 billion, with a B. Other estimates compiled from leftist sources, including the BBC, say that a border wall might cost anywhere from $12 billion to, oh, imagine this, $40 billion. But wait a minute, that's chump change. In early August, those pulling the Biden Fuhrer string sent a supplemental appropriations request to Capitol Hill for $24 billion just in assistance to Ukraine. That's not counting armament and all the other goodies they've got on the table, and those that are being siphoned off and sent up the chain to the various big guys, no doubt. So far, in Ukraine alone, the U.S. has spent $113 billion in four separate spending packages, and that's just for starters. They keep wanting to up the ante. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget, the Biden regime left $80 or $90 billion worth of U.S. military hardware for terrorists like ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Kind of makes you wonder how many billion of that have already crossed back in across the open southern border now, doesn't it? But one thing's for sure, that too would have built, oh, at least a couple, maybe three or four border walls. And now, in just the last few days, just to buy off the speaker's race and grease those skids to oblivion, the Biden Fuhrer regime has proposed $100 billion more, this time most of it for Ukraine, but oh yeah, we'll toss Israel a few crumbs too. But as for terrorists and open borders, well hell, we may get a bunch more from Palestine now, how's that for wonderful? So understand this, what's already been spent to push for World War III in Ukraine, and not a dime of it for actual, real defense of the United States, would amount to at least 3 and maybe 10 complete border walls. Well, meanwhile, enough invaders to populate the state of Wyoming, for example, are crossing the border just about each and every month. I guess you could ask how many Communist Chinese Party People's Liberation Army battalions does that include? One thing you know for sure, General Marxist Milley, retired or not, isn't about to tell you, although his PLA general buddies probably know. Neither is $1 for his quote-unquote services, Lloyd Austin. And the clueless Congress, by any measure, folks, wastes more than that every single year. And are you ready for this? Interest alone on the utterly unpayable so-called national debt is projected by the CBO to take pretty much two-thirds of $1 trillion in 2023. And that's up $200 billion in the last year, enough to build 5 full walls, and that's including Bidenflation. And just the latest $100 billion or so worth of bribes to keep the swamp under control is enough to build a couple of walls. I think the point's obvious. There is no intent to stop the invasion. The intent is the exact opposite. It's to destroy the United States. Which leads me to that suggestion I was talking about. Yeah, we all know it'll never happen, but at least it's food for thought. Why would we defend other nations' borders and try to blow up the whole world in the process rather than just doing the obvious? Draft the invaders rather than young Americans. You want to come in? Great. And we'll still even give you plane and train tickets. But we're going to send you to die for other people's borders that we wouldn't defend here, whether it's Israel or Ukraine or anything else we come up with. Oh, yeah, and one more thing. And they force this on troops anyway.
You have to take the Zyklon B injection. That way we know there won't be any issue in years to come with birthright citizenship.
Because you won't be reproducing anymore anyway. And if any of that sounds cruel, remember, it's what they intend for you. Or worse. Shabbat shalom, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.